You are Locked On Syracuse, your daily podcast on the Syracuse Orange, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, not the way you wanted to be waking up on a Tuesday morning. Syracuse got crushed down in Duke, and we're going to break it down for you here on the Locked On Syracuse podcast. Tyler Rocky and Tim Leonard, the only place to get daily Syracuse podcasts. Oh boy, Tim. I mean, if you checked Twitter, you would have thought the sky was falling. I don't know if you heard, by the way, but Jalen Johnson actually has opted out from Duke University.
Really?
He's left the program. I don't know if that crossed your mind or if you heard that come across the wire at any point.
Best of luck to the kid.
Just thought I'd let you know. Seriously. Best of luck to Jalen. No, I mean, we kid here, but like, I mean, that was something. I'll be fully transparent here. I did not watch the game with the sound on, so I don't know what was said. But based on the tweets we received, based on the tweets I saw on the timeline, it seemed excessive. And based on the texts I was getting, it seemed excessive.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I have to work the game for radio, so I can't listen to Jay Billis. And I'm just going to operate under the assumption that it was really bad because I judged by the Twitter reaction, and it was a lot of people saying Jay Billis needs to stop talking. But
so, yeah, that was a tough one for Syracuse, to say the least. I mean, we've brought up the numbers too. We both kind of predicted this one might be a blowout, but we brought up the numbers. It's very tough on these big Monday games, quick turnarounds. We said big Monday team 7-2. That number got bumped up to 9-2 after today because both Duke and Oklahoma State won today. So it just shows. It's tough on these quick turnarounds, but you got to come out with a little more effort than what we saw out of Syracuse in this game. Because just to get to one of the Boeheim comments post-game, but you've got a starter who says, I didn't play defense in the first half. What is that? I mean, first of all, one, fantastic accountability. Where are the other four guys who are going to say that too? Because none of the five starters played defense in the game yesterday.
Don't knock Marek.
I mean, come
on. I'll stand up for Marek.
Yeah, okay, yes. Three of the other guys should have been saying something as well because, I mean, come on. That's something where defense is a choice. You make a choice whether or not you are going to play defense, okay? Now, some people are obviously better than others. Some people have better physical traits. But the actual effort of playing defense is a choice. That is something that said starter, and I don't want to get into guessing at who that may or may not have been, but if you're saying that, you shouldn't have even gotten on the plane.
Right.
To go down. Like, that is a choice that you made at tip-off, that I was not going to play. It may have even been a choice that you made before tip-off, before you even stepped on the plane at Hancock Airport. That is a choice that you made. And to hear something like that in the post-game was disappointing. I feel the same way now hearing that as I did when Dino Babers, earlier in the football season, went out and made that statement about the Pitt game, about why he did not use his timeouts. I feel the same way. It's the same gut punch.
Yeah. Now, I mean, the logical guess, I guess, is Gerard. And I started to think maybe it was Guerrier just because Boeheim went after Guerrier's defense in the postgame a little bit. And then he also made quite the comment of saying the guards have nothing to do with it and you don't know our defense if you're saying the guards have nothing to do with it. Well, I do know that Duke went 10 of 18 from 3. And Notre Dame lit you up from three in the last game. And teams have done it all year. Like, if you can shoot the three, come on down to the Carrier Dome or wherever you're playing because you're going to juice your stats.
Or if you're 6'10 or taller.
Yeah.
That also seems to be a recipe for success.
Sure.
Shout out to Mark Williams, a career high, first career double-double.
Right. I mean, what did he average, 3-3 going into tonight? I think he finished with 16-11.
I legitimately think he averaged, like, 10 minutes a game.
Yeah.
And Boeheim, he goes out there and has the game of his life.
He's a talented guy. We warned you about that in the previous show. We said he could be a problem, but it doesn't take much to be a problem against us right now because you've got Marek back there and you're not making any adjustments. And, you know, we got an interesting tweet from Caleb Phillips who said, I think he said something like, some late night thoughts here after the loss, which we all do those. And he was like,
oh, yeah.
People always
after the
clamor.
Cooling down period.
Right. You take a little time to take a deep breath. So I'm guessing this is what Caleb did. He said, people always clamor for Cuse to switch to man. How many other players would actually be good man-to-man defense outside of Kadari? And would they be a little bit better? Maybe, because I feel like the big flaw is that the center position, like, they don't have the anchor of the zone. And if you play man-to-man, then maybe you can disguise Dolezal a little bit. But they still would be a bad defensive team. Kadari would probably be the best defender still. And Kadari is the only top 100 recruit on this roster. So he's really the only guy, to me, that showed any flashes of playing a good game in this game. Like, Dolezal was good,
I
guess.
I will say, but to the tweet that we got, there's certain players that I think would be better. I mean, Buddy would have a size advantage on a lot of guys that he's going to go up against. And I think Allen's athletic enough where it would probably suit him a little
Griffin better. Griffin would be better, I'd say.
Probably Guerrier, too. The only problem with him is he might get caught in some size mismatches. But that's going to be a problem for them regardless. So, and the thing is, like, Gerard, I think about Gerard and how that would pan out for him. And while I largely say, I mean, the defense is already atrocious to begin with, so it's not like you can really take a step backward. But I guess the reason for encouragement is, think about some of the coaches that were recruiting him to play. I mean, you think John Beilein's going to put up with a crappy defensive effort? You think Coach K is going to put up with a crappy man-to-man defensive effort?
Well, he kind of has this season, right?
He has this season, but I don't. I just don't know if. I just don't know if it obviously has to be a little better, right? Like, it has to be. And another thing too is, I don't. Obviously, the blowout's gonna kind of overshadow it a little bit, but the second half was not awful defensively. Now, we didn't see Duke keep their foot on the gas. I don't think either, but it wasn't awful. Like, you'll live with 33 points allowed in a half, albeit in a little bit of a skewed fashion. But the 52, I mean, you allow 52 in the first half, one of the worst defensive efforts we've seen in the first 20 minutes out of this team, and really in any 20 minutes that we've seen out of this team. It's really between that, you can throw the Pitt half in there, and then you can throw in the Notre Dame half from the other day, the first half. And I guess you could even throw Buffalo. The fact that I'm even listing
NC State
off
first half. I mean, keep going.
I mean, the list goes on and on. And that's the problem. All right, quick break to tell you guys about the best tasting protein bar on the market. You know it. It's Built Bar. The new and improved Built Bar 2 is even better because guess what? They're pumping out new flavors left and right, including caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia. The list goes on, and that's on top of the 12 already amazing flavors that they have in their inventory. It's almost like when the ACC added Syracuse. They had your classics like Duke, UNC, all those great teams, and now you're adding in a Syracuse, a Louisville, all that other stuff. That's what Built Bar is. They're just adding to an already great thing. The bars are 100% covered in chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, and if you're trying to maintain weight, gain weight, whatever it is, you can eat Built Bars because they are a delicious treat and they're perfect for any health-conscious person. They're low-calorie, low-sugar, and high-protein. Just take the peanut butter brownie, for example. 19 grams of protein packed into that bar. So if it's the best way to reward yourself for a workout is by topping it off with a great-tasting Built Bar because it's a protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar. And right now, go to BuiltBar.com and you can use our promo code LOCKEDON and you will get 20% off your next order. Again, BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. If you're going to rely on the comebacks all the time, just not a sustainable thing. I can't remember when else we said that. We said this was something else, but the whole comeback mentality is just not a sustainable form of winning any sort of sport. Eventually, it's going to come and bite you. And it did in this game, and this was the most important game of the year.
Right, and they're all huge going forward, and you really should start Kadari because you get in a hole, and it's just by the time he gets in there, you're down 10 or 12 points. And at this point, Kadari's
just... And if you're
just
not going to start him, I mean, the hook is 2 minutes. If things start to get out of hand by the two-minute point, then he's got to come.
Yeah, like when Gerard dribbled it off his foot or kicked it off his knee, that's when you yank him. well, that was what, 2 minutes in? I can't remember exactly.
Yeah, I mean, but I still don't really care who starts, Kadari, Joe. I don't think it ultimately matters that much. But when you give them the hook, does. And yeah, to let that play out as long as it did was pretty bad.
Yeah, Kadari finishes with 29 minutes to Girard's 18, so that's positive. I mean, he's been outplaying Girard in terms of minutes each of the last several games, it feels like now, and Girard just has been bad, and Jim said that post-game, and Kadari, even when Kadari's a little off, he still gives you so much defensively, and that's the area where you really need improvement. So
he gave you something on offense in this game, too.
Oh, yeah, he was great. I was texting you during the game. It's the first time we've yanked him from the Who Will Lead Syracuse in Scoring
yeah, exactly.
prop shop. And he had 13 at the half. He was the only guy in double figures. I thought he was going to end up. And Buddy, by the way, ends up winning that. But what a quiet 21 points from Buddy. It was shades of the Alan Griffin 28 points in one game this year that I can't remember where I was like, holy cow, Alan Griffin had 28. But Buddy was
the same Rutgers?
One tonight.
I think it was Rutgers.
It might have been Rutgers, yeah. And by the way, Rutgers is one of those quad, you're now 0-5 in quad one games. And I want to bring this up because Rutgers, you were pretty close, even though they were down a starter and you were down a couple guys, Sidibe, who you've been down all season, and Buddy was not in that Rutgers game. It's on the road. Yeah, you hung tough with Rutgers, but you lost by double digits. UNC, Boeheim said postgame, UNC was their best game of the year, he said, probably, the way that they played, to only lose by 6 at Chapel Hill. And gosh, I hope they can just cancel the big Monday game next week after watching this game, because UNC is an even worse matchup.
Well, at least Syracuse is going to be home.
Yeah.
Right? Like, at least they're going to be home for that one.
And they have played better at home, but it's interesting. Boeheim, when you really dissect his post-game press conferences, which I know I love to do that as much as anyone, and it also can be...
I mean, people pay for that, Tim. I don't know
if
you heard.
As he will tell you. People subscribe
for that.
And you know, you could get down a rabbit hole doing that stuff, but he says quotes that just are admitting defeat after every game. Like, this team, it's a personnel problem more than anything. I think that's what we'll get into as a larger theme on this podcast, but he says stuff like, we scored 71 points. And to tell you the truth, I don't know if we can do any better than that. That's what we should do. 71 points. And then he says, we've managed to hang in there at home and grit out some home wins. And honestly, some of our home wins have surprised me. So it's almost like he's saying our record is a little misleading, even, if anything. Like, this team's just not good, and when they play against teams that are remotely good, they get whipped. Like, all these quad one games, not only are they not winning quad one opportunities, but at Virginia, they got crushed. At Duke in this game, get crushed. At Clemson, crushed. They lost to Pittsburgh when they had
Champagne. I don't
remember
this many blowouts.
Yeah, like, these blowouts are...
You look at some of these other... Even when they're down, like last year, they were down, but the games were still respectable. Like, there
were
a lot
always
of
been something
results
they
could
cling
flipped.
To. I agree.
Yeah.
Totally.
I mean, I even think, especially back to that final 4 year, the most recent final 4 year that they had, it was just collapse down the stretch that they would suffer. They would have a lead with 4 minutes left, and then they would end up losing by 6 or something like that. So while it may have felt like a gut punch or a blowout loss, the final score didn't necessarily indicate that, because Syracuse was really good in those first 35, 37 minutes. And then down the stretch, everything just sort of fell apart. Meanwhile, this year, I mean, you're clawing and fighting the entire second half. And if you're just going to live your life in an uphill battle,
right,
you're not going to win that way. You just can't.
I can't remember a team that has had this bad of stretches from Syracuse and also started games like this. Because Boeheim even said post-game, usually the 2-3 zone gets worse as the game goes along because teams get more comfortable with it. And when you first jump
out
there...
It's the opposite this year.
Yeah.
It really is.
They're ready to go. And that's another thing. This 2-3 zone is just not as much of a curveball to some of these teams. Like Josh Pastner, Georgia Tech on Saturday... He's played against it several times now, and he's got his game plan, and he's going back to his notes from last year probably, and they'll probably win. I mean, that's just the nature of it. This zone is not good. They don't have the pieces to make it good. They don't have the anchor. They don't have the quickness at the top, and I guess they do in Kadari, but they're just not starting the game with him, so then they get in these holes, and it's really just tough to watch. And it goes back to personnel. I mean, we had our guy Kevin Kloss, shout out to him, he tweeted at us and said that this is the least talented Syracuse team since 2006. I'd have to really dig through, but he's totally right. Like, this team is not, doesn't have talent.
And they it stems back to recruiting.
Yeah.
I mean, you can pick and prod at all the violations or whatever. Just because you have violations does not excuse you from not getting top 100 guys. It's not like the NCAA says, okay, you can only get X number of guys, and also they have to be outside the 24/7 top 100 or top 50. No, that's not how it works.
Right.
Like, you still need to bring these guys in, and you still can bring these guys in.
Yeah, and, like, Quincy, I think we can talk about him a little bit, because he's not the player he was in the non-conference, and honestly, anytime he goes up against a good shot blocker, he struggles. And he's not an NBA player right now, if we're being honest. And I guess that's a good thing, because maybe it means he'll come back, but I did some research. You can't find him on any big boards right now. ESPN Top 100. He's nowhere to be found. And
listen, that doesn't mean he's not gonna leave. Like, yeah, he still can leave, and, like, good riddance to him, but right now, the way things are trending, obviously not in his favor.
And the other thing about him is, the guy's 6'7". He's kind of just playing out of position to begin
with.
And
that's why I think it's a little unfair to say, well, no, I shouldn't say unfair, because he's obviously struggled, but he's being asked to do a lot of things that he should not be asked to do. Like, he should not be the guy that the Orange is relying on to be the major post presence for this team. He's 6'7".
Right.
I mean, this is a guy who, in essence, if he's going to make it at the next level, he's got to be a jump shooter. And right now, I he's not a guy I want stepping out to take a shot. He's not a guy I want with the ball in his hands in the game-winning opportunities for this team.
Yeah,
never has been all year long.
Right. I like the guy. Don't get me wrong. I was very high on him to start the year, and maybe even
I still think he's a good player.
Yeah, he's a good player. I mean, I want him to come back. I'm not even knocking him, because he's really one of the few guys that I feel like has a lot of talent that is somewhat comparable to some of the Cuse teams that we know and love and reminisce on nowadays. And, like, he's a good player, but I think we're lying to ourselves if we call him an NBA player at this point. I just don't see how he sticks in the NBA the way he shoots the basketball. And it's gotten better, but his numbers have dipped off. I've never seen him, like, do a one dribble pull up from 15 feet. Like, he doesn't have
that.
He's
not going to create his own shot, right?
Yeah, you can't succeed in the NBA at this point if you're 6'7 and you can't shoot at a very, very good clip. And that's just the nature.
Now, he is a fantastic rebounder.
Yeah.
I will say that. I think
he is.
He's like Griffin. He rebounds way bigger than his size suggests.
He's a good
player.
And
that's a great trait to have. He is a great...
Right.
I'd even say he is a great player. He is just in a bad situation in terms of what the personnel allows him to be.
Right, and I mean, we're grading this on the NBA scale, and the NBA is, it's freaking impossible to stick in the NBA, and that's why Syracuse hasn't had a lot of great guys. I feel like the Syracuse media does this thing every year where they talk themselves into the latest NBA guy, and we did it with Elijah Hughes, but I'll be the first to tell you that I think Elijah Hughes is an exception from recent Syracuse guys, because he could shoot, and he fit the modern NBA, and a lot of guys were saying that were just unbiased Syracuse people, but every year we talk ourselves into why Tyus Battle will stick, why Leiden will stick, why whoever will stick.
O'Shea. O'Shea actually is another one of those guys that can stick.
Yeah, maybe, because if he can get a shot together. But, like, people might do it with Quincy again this year, and I'm just not going to do it, I'm telling you, because it's not panning out for these guys, because it's really, really hard to make it in the NBA, and I don't think it's a knock on him, but I think we're lying to ourselves if we think that he's an NBA. I hope he comes back now that he's dropped off all these big boards. That's the one positive to it.
Right. I just want to reel things back in a little bit here. And one of the shocking things to me was looking at the rebounding totals in this game. Because, I mean, if you looked on social media, you would have thought Syracuse was getting out-rebounded like 50-25. They lost the rebounding battle by 2, and it was pretty much within a 3-4 rebound margin throughout the game.
Yeah.
But it was just the timing of them. And in these crucial moments, and it obviously didn't help that Syracuse was missing so many shots as well, especially in that first half, but it's just the rebounding continued time and time again. You're making these guys who have not had good games all season long look like superstars. Everyone gets a turn to be Shaq.
Yeah.
And when that is the defensive MO of your team, it hurts. It hurts. And listen, Marek, it's one of those things where it's not his fault, But at the same time, I mean, how can you be 185, one whatever he is right now, weight-wise? How can you still be that at this point?
Yeah, he's probably tried, and it just can't happen, and that's unfortunate.
Like, some people just can't put on weight that way. Like, it just happens.
Okay, last break on the show to tell you guys about betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. They've got tons of cool prop bets out there, including a bet going into that Duke game on whether Jim Boeheim would pick his nose during the game. That was a real thing that was out there on betonline.ag. I wonder if any of you wagered on that. I still can't believe that that was even thrown out there. I hope you hammered no, because I did not see him pick his nose, and I feel like that was free money if you did. And maybe if they offer it again, then use our promo code LOCKEDON, because you can get a 50% welcome bonus. You can sign up for your free account, and you can bet on some fun stuff like that. Plus, we got the NBA going on right now. All the other college hoops games, NHL, it's all in full swing. So go over to betonline.ag, use that promo code LOCKEDON, and you will get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Let's just get to the main thing here. Like, would you consider this the end of the season, this game? Are they done now?
No, I don't think this is the end. Because
I'm ready to call it, honestly.
Well, okay. Can I throw a little curveball at you?
Yeah, let's talk.
So, the NIT, and this is going to be the most backwards way of getting into the NCAA tournament. But there's talks now that the NIT is going to move to Indianapolis. And the purpose of that is going to be so teams are on standby for the NCAA tournament if something were to happen. And for that reason alone, you still have to play out your season. And if you do get an NIT invite, you have to accept it. Because there is a world where you can maybe stumble your way into the tournament through the most strange backdoor we will ever see.
Yeah.
And that is a team comes down with COVID and you can slither way your way in. Call it slimy. It's essentially going to be the same reason why people like Boeheim and Roy Williams, it's pretty much the opposite reason of why those coaches are going to say that they still have their tournament streaks or whatever going on, how they didn't miss, quote unquote, miss the 2020 NCAA tournament since there was no tournament, even though they both would have missed that tournament. It's going to be the same thing almost in reverse, because there is a way in that way. Now, it's a very strange way in, but you got to remember, this is Syracuse basketball. College basketball is better when Syracuse is good, when Duke is good, when North Carolina is good, when Michigan yeah. State. I can go down and down the list. It's going to be the most ass-backwards way of getting into the NCAA tournament that we will ever see. But for that reason and that reason alone, you can't just call it quits on the season.
All right, well, yeah, they're not going to call it quits. This team's not going to roll over.
But if you're saying, is Greg Gumbel going to call their name on Selection Sunday?
That's what I'm asking.
Then it's like a 5% chance.
Yeah, I mean, let's put it this way. Do you see them? I just don't even see them beating Georgia Tech or UNC at this point. Maybe Georgia Tech, but I don't, even though UNC's at home, so maybe I should have more faith in that game. But I think when this team goes against good teams, they get exposed. And there's just not been a lot of good teams that they've played against.
Yeah, no, they have folded this year against the better competition. And it's frustrating to watch because they have had the opportunities this year. I know they've had a number of them stripped from them. But they have had the opportunities.
The home opportunities were stripped. But on the road, they've had their chances, and they look terrible every time they go on the road, basically.
No doubt. Exactly. And I think in one category, like, yes, it's frustrating that Virginia Tech isn't considered a quad one win. But the net is the net, and their metrics, I think, are probably a little bit better than what the AP voters go by. Because that is all sort of the feel of the here and now, whereas the net kind of, it gives you the broader brush. And even if you look back at some historical net data, I know that it's only 2 years old. I think it's, 2 years old now, or 3 years old now?
But, something like that, so
they,
maybe three.
They even have one NCAA tournament that's axed, but it's pretty spot on. I mean, they do a pretty good job of figuring out what tournament success looks like. Whatever algorithm they have crafted together, whatever formula it is pretty good. And if you watch Virginia Tech, sometimes you're really scratching your head why they've got a little number next to their name at times.
Yeah, it's a shame because they maybe could have beaten a Louisville at home, or they maybe could have beaten a Florida State at home, like if the stars aligned. But I even don't even really see that happening. Like, we'll see what they do.
I think they could have beaten Louisville. I don't think they could have beaten Florida State.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm just looking at it as... I think they've got a better chance of beating North Carolina than they do Georgia Tech.
I just think UNC will out-rebound the crap out of them.
They could. They very well could.
Because UNC's a lot better now. It's almost like Duke. Not to the degree that, because we didn't play Duke early in the year, so it doesn't even matter. But UNC now is a lot better than what UNC was. I mean, they just took it to Louisville. And yes, Louisville's probably overrated and coming off a COVID pause, but still.
By the way, the stuff that's come out about Chris Mack and the party he hosted after beating Kentucky,
yeah,
that team should be disqualified.
Yeah, not great.
It flattens that team should be disqualified. Right. It's actually embarrassing.
And also, what they real have done quick,
with their season.
You brought this up to me, so I think you originated this idea, so I'll give you proper credit here. But I know why this didn't happen, but let me just say it first. Like, UNC scheduled a game with Marquette. Why doesn't Syracuse just stay down there and play UNC?
Mm-hmm. We need a game on Wednesday. Yeah.
We need chances. And I get what they're going to say. Oh, well, they've already played UNC and they've already got them on the schedule next Monday.
Who cares?
So they're going to play them twice. Who cares?
You need games against good teams. I don't have Wake Forest's schedule in front of me. If Wake Forest was available this week, you can't play. You just can't play that game.
Yeah, and I think this is an ACC thing. I think Boeheim probably would have done it, but the ACC is not letting it happen. And to that, I would just say
Why do you think the ACC wouldn't let that happen?
Well, that's just when
they don't want them to play three times.
A little bit, and then when he was asked about,
I don't know, because I feel like they would love the eyeballs. Like Syracuse, North Carolina, you can say they're both having down years by their standards, but it's still the two biggest. I don't think the ACC necessarily would have had a huge problem.
Yeah, the only reason I say it is because on his coach's show, he was asked, I forget who, like how it truly came about, but I think a question was posed to him that was basically saying, how much is that you making the decision and how much is that the ACC? And he made it seem like it's a lot the ACC making those decisions.
Okay.
And like, they're going to have a game on March 3rd, but they don't know who they're playing, and it's probably Clemson, is just his assumption, but the league just kind of tells
him. I mean, you can always do the whole non-con thing, too. Like, we saw it in football, where you can take the ACC out of the equation, essentially. I mean, you can still put the game on ESPN, you can still put the game on ACC Network, but, I mean, we saw UNC in football.
I just find it laughable... UNC is looking for games. They're looking for home games because they've been cheated out of home games this year. And Syracuse is looking for a quad one opportunity. And, I mean, they probably would have lost UNC on the road,
yeah,
so maybe it doesn't help them. But
you got to give yourself a chance. Like, at this point, you need as many bullets as possible, and you're just running out of them at this point. I mean, you've pissed away that one. I guess you haven't pissed away the Louisville games. They just haven't happened. You've kind of gotten screwed. But at the end of the day, those games are probably not being played. You need every single bullet in your arsenal. And they just don't. And this would have been an opportunity for that. Do what we've seen UNC and Wake Forest. If the ACC is going to intervene in all of it, you can do potentially and kind of weasel your way out of it by making this a quote-unquote non-conference game. Even though...
Yeah.
It's going to go on the resume. Like, the committee's not going to care what your ACC record is necessarily if this one game is omitted from that. And you make that a quote-unquote non-conference game. And listen, there's probably more logistics we don't know about, but it's just one of those things where you had a chance. In the Duke game, you came out flat. This is a chance at redemption right here. And maybe you don't want to do the Monday, Thursday, Saturday, or the Monday, Wednesday, set, whatever. Listen, it's tough, but don't go making some sort of case now down the road that you should be some tournament team and you got robbed of all these opportunities. There was one on your plate,
right,
and you just chose not to eat it.
Yeah, and they would probably have gotten smoked by UNC on the road anyway.
Yeah,
so it's kind
but
of
you got
to
give yourself a chance.
Yeah, And maybe they didn't want to do it. Would be Saturday, Monday, and then maybe you schedule it for Thursday, and then you've got a Saturday game in Atlanta. So it's a lot, for sure. And I don't even know if you can make Thursday work, because you're down there on Monday, and the idea is that you're already down there. So you probably want to do it Wednesday, which means Saturday, Monday, Wednesday, which is a lot, for sure, with the road trip in there. But, like, Boeheim says that you can play these guys 40 minutes a night, and they'll be just fine, so... I don't know.
Yeah, everyone's from the AAU era where they're playing weekend tournaments every weekend. So
yeah,
and you're playing six games in 3 days.
Right. I think just as a closing thought here, because I'm sure we'll have a lot more time during the week. We didn't get into many Twitter replies, but I think what we'll do is just save those for maybe tomorrow's show and
yeah.
get to
tomorrow. Will essentially kind of be a spillover mailbag.
Yeah.
If you will.
Right. That's a good way of looking at it. So we'll get into all, anyone that chatted us or tweeted at us, we'll get into your thoughts probably on tomorrow's show, and I'm sure we'll talk maybe more about the big picture a little bit, but I found myself today literally thinking back on Pascal Tchoukwu and Frank Howard and, like, longing for those days.
That's a dangerous mindset.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, like... There, I saw someone put out the tweet. It was, you know, like the tweet with, is it like Batman with the picture frame or whatever? And it's them looking at, it's like they're longing for the good old days. And it was CJ Fair and someone else. I can't remember who was in the picture with CJ Fair. But so there was that. And then you just bring that up and it's like, hell, I'd take that right now.
Right.
Isn't
that amazing?
Give me some size and defense at the top of the zone, a little 3-point shooting with
seven
Frank
footer. Like you need
a seven-footer who can block some shots for you.
A body? And some people are...
I never thought we would exit the Pascal Tchoukwu, Frank Howard era and be clamoring for the good old days. It just goes back to the Office quote. Like, I'd love for someone to let you know that you're in the good old days before they've left. Or I totally butchered that quote, but...
Sure, I know what you're saying, though.
But... I would love to know that those were the good old days right now, because,
right.
I mean, how does it drop off that much? That I don't understand.
If they're playing let's say the 2018 team, so that is Elijah's first year, 9 seed, if I'm getting my years, 8 seed, I think it was.
That's the 2019, because that was the year Virginia won.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I guess it's 2018, 2019, whatever.
Okay,
you
yeah,
want.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know the team I'm talking about. If they're playing team, neutral court, how much is the 2018 team beats them by 8 or 10, I think.
Yeah.
And it's
and
an impossible
what?
Thing, right? Because I guess Buddy was on
because that
both
team
teams,
plays defense.
But,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like everyone asks the Nova teams, like, what... Who is better, the 2016 championship team or the 2018
right.
championship team? I'd love for Buddy, because Buddy is kind of like the Jalen Brunson of that, where he was on both teams. He was a freshman on one. He's a junior on the other. And he can, I mean, I'd love to get a little truth serum in him and hear truly how bad this drop-off is between that team and this team.
Yeah.
It'd be fascinating to hear.
And it's funny you bring up Jalen Brunson. I think Buddy's got a little more Klay Thompson in his game than I'm kidding. I had to take a shot there, Jalen.
Yeah, I can't believe Steph only played 18 minutes last night.
Yeah, I know. It's I thought that they'd let him get hot because what he finished 0-for-4, he probably would have made his next 6 shots if Joe Girard,
that's
Steph
how
Curry,
it works,
and he's an MVP in the NBA. So. But yeah, it's just amazing that it's gotten to this point. And honestly, there was a
sliver, one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's a great one.
Yeah, the Boeheim hyperbole.
Right. It's just that there was a sliver of hope before this year, and even after they got Dior, and I guess the hope now for fans is Benny Williams coming in, but I still just wonder how they're going to be any better next year if they don't get an upgrade at the center position, but we can talk about that at another date and time, I'm sure, like we'll have all summer. And, I think... There was a sliver of hope before this year. I thought this team was going to be good. Like, I was dead wrong. I thought they were going to be a 7 seed in the tournament, I think is what I said.
Yeah.
And it's just not happening at this. Like, they're just not good. They're worse than they were 2-3 years ago. It's amazing.
Right. I want to get to, like, one or two quick things here because they're not spillover thoughts. I need your in-the-moment answers to these. But first... How excited were you going into this game? Because I felt a weird sense of excitement probably one of the more excited I've been for a game in quite some time.
You know, I was excited for this year, but I got to be honest with you, the no fans, the...
No, I'm talking about this game individually.
Sure. What I'm saying is I just can't get to an excitement level this year, unfortunately, that I normally
okay.
do.
That's fair. That's a fair answer.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why. It felt irrational, and I couldn't justify... Like, obviously, it was a big game, right? But you are kind of right with the no fans, and maybe it's the fact that I watched it on mute, but... I don't know. I had a weird excitement heading into this. And it felt like Twitter felt the same way. It was a huge game.
And they get up for Duke, as they should, and they laid an egg.
Yeah. Right. And then the last thing. The whole Boeheim-Billis feud, just, can we kill this? Like, that needs to end now. I mean, this is...
Yeah.
This is the... I'm making a pledge now, all right, Tim? This is the last time we talk about it. Right now, these last 2 or 3 minutes of content is going to be the last time we have... Just drop it, dude. Like, to say that you know more about basketball than Jay Billis isn't groundbreaking stuff, all right? Jay Billis would probably admit the same thing.
Right.
Bayon's been coaching basketball, like, as long as Jay Billis has been
alive.
You don't
need to say it. It's pathetic that you think you have to say it.
Yeah, that you have to puff your chest out like that. I mean, come on, take your Letterman jacket off, man. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
It's just embarrassing at this point. Listen, are you going to be right about the whole Jalen Johnson thing? Probably. Like, yeah, cool. But to make it a big deal is just embarrassing. Drop it. The feud is over. All right?
And same goes for Billis, according to what we were hearing on Twitter. Again, we didn't listen to the game. We didn't have the opportunity, basically. But, yeah, it almost reminds me a little bit of the Pat in Syracuse, like, getting... Why does that get on Boeheim under Boeheim's skin? And shout out to Pat that he is able to do that. It's impressive, honestly. But
yeah.
It's like, if you're a Hall of Fame coach and you've been coaching for 45 years, he's just a sensitive guy. He's always been that way. If you write something, he's going to bring it up. And he goes at the media.
Hey, listen, I've got no problem with the quote-unquote sensitivity stuff. I actually kind of like the whole athlete. Like, everyone picks and prods at Kevin Durant. I find that cool and not, like, you can call it sensitive, sure, but I don't think, everyone uses sensitive in a demeaning term. I think he just likes the engagement, and I have no problem with the engagement, but when it's an issue where you have zero role in it, first of all, and to me, it's starting to look more and more like he is pumping up the whole Jalen Johnson narrative because he was not as confident, potentially, in his team. Now, maybe he was, but in the... He knew, obviously, there was a chance his team would lose this game. And if they lose the game, now it makes the loss look not as bad because Duke is this quote-unquote better team. And yes, Duke is obviously playing much better basketball right now. You could even argue they are one of the hottest teams in the ACC. They are probably the hottest blue blood right now, in fact, you could say, in a year of down blue bloods. But to pump all that up and get in a fight that you just had no business... like. When, and you can say he got let into it on his coach's show by Matt Park. I don't even know what the question was. But even when the question is asked, you did not have to answer it. You did not have, you could have brushed it off like, oh, he's not a player in our program. Or just say it right there. I have not watched Duke with Jalen Johnson. I have not watched him with Jalen Johnson this year. So I have no opinion on it.
Yeah. He's very opinionated, which is nice because you can take a lot away from his post-game press conferences and he'll tell it like it is.
Oh, yeah. His post-game press conferences are unlike any other coaches in the country.
Yeah,
and I say that in a good way. That is a good thing.
He's transparent.
Because, and it's a product of when the coach is bigger than the program. And he's built himself up to be that. But he's had that much success where he can be that way because Jim Boeheim is bigger than the Syracuse basketball program.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's just sad that he has to keep bringing it up. Like, we should just, as you said, let's make a pact. We're not talking about this.
We're making a pact.
It's already gone on too long.
We're doing it right now. But yeah, no, it's embarrassing. It's gotten to that point, but here we are. So, all right, we've run a little long here. We appreciate everyone for sticking this one through. Hopefully Syracuse can hang around a little bit longer because... Boy, I mean, I didn't think we'd be getting to the off season at this point right now. I really thought there was a tournament run in this team, but those hopes are starting to dwindle away. Again, still not impossible, but we will lay out the tournament path for you guys all tomorrow on the show, and we'll also get to any of your Twitter comments. So also, if you have and would like to chime in a little bit, tweet at us, at LO underscore Syracuse, and we will get to all of your Twitter thoughts on the show tomorrow. Well, one last thing, too. I do need to say this.
Of course.
He could have at least picked his nose for the boosters, right?
Yeah, really.
Like did our great partners at betonline.ag put out odds on Jim Boeheim to pick his nose on TV this week during that Duke game.
Right.
He could have done it for the boosters. All right? Come on. All right. Well, that's enough from us here. We'll get into all that stuff I was talking about on the show tomorrow. For Tim, I'm Tyler. We'll talk to you guys on Tuesday.